So we're holding of continuing the difference between men and women, and we're holding by solar systems. I think the last Nakuda, which we have to understand in the world of solar systems, or the impact that solar systems make before we discuss some of the solutions of solar systems, how to address it, is the wife is going to interpret a statement of the husband or an action of the husband directed towards her when something is directed towards her. The husband comes home from work and he had a hard day at work. So he's had a hard day at work, you know, so he doesn't have a smile on his face. So the wife will assume that he's upset with her. You thought we saw this last time?
Yeah, that was the last thing I said.
That also plays into the second half of it is the significance of the husband to the wife when he's in a good mood is very important to her. It's very powerful to her, the husband being in a good mood, buoyant, happy, etc. And when he's not, it's very difficult for her. Because it impacts, because she, you know, if you wake up in the morning, there's no sun out. The sun's not shining. That's why a wife is very worried about her husband's welfare. I have to tell you, just, you understand there's a little bit the pain of an almona. I was once talking with a, visiting somebody's house, and his mother was there, she's an almona. And I asked her how she's doing. So the normal response of most people is, you know, fine, perhaps I'm fine, you know, can't complain. She looks at me, she doesn't know, but like she knew me. She says to me, like straight, she says, when my husband was alive, I was just somebody, now I'm a nobody. And I was like, what do I say now? Like, you know, what do you respond to that statement of pain that the person just said? It's a phenomenal statement of pain. It was so much pain that, you know, to a total stranger, how are you doing, man? I am, that's how powerful, because I was talking about the pain of a woman lacking her husband, and how much the husband means to her. So that's very important to keep in mind. Okay. A woman one day wakes up and recognizes that she has, she starts recognizing that she has competition for her husband's interest. Now, it's not that the husband will try and address the feeling of solar system, etc., you know, that the wife is important to him, etc., but she's going to start recognizing the fact that her husband has other interests which are very important to him. And when he's involved in them, he's not thinking about her. And what, first of all, what is her feeling about that? So at the beginning, the feeling about that leaves a person very uneasy. And there's two nakudas which you need to do to address that issue. Number one is the disciple writes in a letter, he says, when he's looking to define he's writing a letter to a chassan, how you define the relationship of a husband and a wife. I think he uses the language vis-a-vis himself. He says, my wife is my shvutiv. And Rabbi Akiva said, shalivir shaltem shalaw, means he recognized what his wife's input. And the husband has to recognize whatever he's doing, the wife has the strength of the wife is giving him to do it. The fact that he has the house to go home to at the end of the day where he reigns, you know, as the boss, it helps him deal with all the challenges which he takes place during the day. Her care, her consideration, her intuition, etc., help him do what he's doing. So he recognizes that she's a shutiv. So that takes off a lot of the edge of the challenge because we're sure to. How does he convey that to her? So I'll give you an anecdote which will convey the issue. So I had this fellow, Baal Tshuva, married him, come from a modern background, and Baruch Hashem, as he was growing in his room type, So he started becoming more yeshivish, and he was a lawyer, but he started learning part-time. He used to come out to yeshiva for, learn for a few hours in the morning before he went to the office. He wanted to make up on lost time. His wife was somewhat uncomfortable with this. This is not what she married. His fellow was moving. You know, when they started out, she was here and he was here, and now he's here and she's here. And there was this conflict. He was like, he moved beyond. She was grappling with him. He was grappling with him. I used to learn with him a little bit. So he says, Rebbe, what do I do? I says, let me ask you a question. When you come up at the end of the day, your wife asks you, you know, what's new in yeshiva, or what happened, you know, how was your day in yeshiva, what do you say? I was, you know, what are you supposed to say? You know, are you supposed to describe to her? She wasn't really familiar with the world of it. And he says, I have a suggestion. Tomorrow by the breakfast table, the breakfast table in yeshiva is a fascinating place, because you know, everything, and the kids get things discussed by the breakfast table, you know. We solve all the world's problems by the breakfast table. Listen to something over there and think of something interesting you think you might be interested in. Some political conversation, some interesting board, some whatever it is. And tomorrow, the other day, my wife asked you how it is, and you know, I heard a great story about a breakfast table. Tell her that. She comes up to me and says, Rebbe, it works like a charm. He says, now explain it to me. He says, very simple. In your wife's mind, you walked out the door and you went into a men's club called the Yeshiva. And you spent 8 hours there, or 5 hours there, whatever it is, and you don't let her into it. Because she asked you how what? You say, Baruch Hashem. Basically, what you're saying is, none of your business. So in her mind, that's what that answer is. I'm not going to share it with you. Right? When you took her into that world, she didn't perceive now that she's there with you. It's not like the Yeshiva is competing for your interest with her. You're bringing home the yeshiva back to her. A guy walks up the door, he goes up the wall, he comes in the day, he's really not in the mood of talking about what he did, but his work. He's not in the mood. So wife has to accept that for 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, he's totally divorced from her. He's in a different world, not thinking about her, doing, you know, and she has competition. She gets 4 hours of interest, and this office gets 8 hours of his interest. What's new in the work, you know, as you can't say what's new, but you know, but he could share some things of what's going on, etc., what's going on in his life. When he does that, whatever. Now, I worked on a chabura today. I mean, we often things on a chabura, she was on a chabura. She said, you know, it's an exciting thing, you're working on a chabura, you know, you're working on it, and I finally copped it shop, and it's evolved, and I saw the chair, stuff like that. You know. She doesn't know what I'm saying, but she feels like, you know, I'm sharing my life with her the same way she shares her life with me. So then we're walking together as partners, as opposed to I walk out and I have my own thing that I do. That's number one. Number two is something which, you know, there's something in there that we're in the world called a trust fund. So in the world of Shulam Bayis, there's also something called a trust fund. Trust fund means you build up a fund of trust. The more she trusts you, more fun you have. You have a bank account, you deposit trust in that bank account. So the more you deposit in that account, the more when one time she knows that you are there for her. She trusts that. Because if a situation A, you were there for her. B, C, D. So the morning she feels totally relaxed. She knows you're there for her. You're aware of her needs. You're focused on her, your problem is over, you didn't miss it and forget it. Now, once you have a trust fund, you can make deposits, you can also make withdrawals. Like any bank account. One of the withdrawals is, let's say one time you forgot about her. So how's she going to interpret that? She's going to interpret that, well, I have this trust fund that I know I trust in. So probably there was a good reason why. Right? She'll be able to down in the chavsluz. If there's very little in the trust fund, it's very hard to down the chavsluz, because it takes a taste. So you need to build up a trust fund. That's what Shana Rishana is about. Shana Rishana is about building a trust fund. Shana Rishana is a year where a person is going to focus in on building a relationship with his wife. You spend a lot of time together, you talk a lot, And after you finish talking, you talk some more. Because when we spoke about women touch through a speech, you'll be totally exhausted by the end of Shavuot Shana. I'll tell you an anecdote on that. A young man came over to me one time and said, you know, I gave him a lot of chizuk. I said, this is, you know, back in Tel. We were friends, like, you know, I never really spoke to him. I said, it was like he was like maybe like 4 or 5 years younger than me. I said, how did he give you chizuk? He says, you know, he just got married recently. And some second Saturday, he's a total wreck. He's exhausted. So he's putting his head down, like during sex ed for a few minutes, he put his head down. He felt very bad, you know, he never used to do that, and here he is, putting his head down. And he remembered that, you know, a few years ago, when another royal got married, second Saturday, he used to put his head down. He says, ah, tell the royal, he'll put his head down second Saturday, I can also put my head down second Saturday. So he told me. I said, okay. Fine. No, I'm happy to help you. Okay. Trust fund is very important. It plays a lot in a lot of different areas. We're going to talk about trust fund again a few different times. Okay. Number three. Where are we holding my number? Different numbers. What are we holding?
Four.
Different numbers. Okay. Okay. We call it captain first mate. Okay? And captain first mate, we have no ship can have two captains. It's terrible to have two captains on a ship. You can imagine having two captains on a ship would be quite dangerous. Right? So you have a captain, you have a first mate. There's a very big difference in the captain and the first mate. Both of them are very experienced sailors. Both know, you know, both of them could run the ship. The first mate could run the ship without the captain. That's exactly what they're doing. But the bottom line is, the captain is the boss and the first mate is. Okay, so let me give you a muscle now to be honest with the challenge you're going to have to understand. Muscle is this. You're working in an office, and you have a boss, and he's a nice guy, sweet guy, etc. And he comes in and he says, you know, says a comment about your work. He says he's only joking. So you believe him like 95%, but you're wondering like maybe there's something that is bothering him because he's the boss. And the relationship of by being a subordinate to vis-a-vis that person, his feelings about you and his attitude about you are extremely important to you, and you're never really sure, and you're always wondering what he really means. That is the relationship between a husband and a wife. Because the wife is dependent on the husband, the wife is an important role, morale says that in Austin, forever, because she's lost her independence. She's not following somebody else. So she can't go somewhere else to get it. She has to get it here. So he being, you know, this segues into the solar system concept a little bit, but she lost her independence. She's in the best social relationship. You know, she's the employee vis-a-vis an employer. So, how do you deal with that? So Chazal should get to be very careful with that, because this is the moral factor. This is the nakuda of why you mustn't cry. Like, so, just like you can have a great relationship with the boss. You know, there's one line and mom hits you. If you'd be the boss, it wouldn't hit you. If you'd be on par with him, it wouldn't hit you. Because, you know, you can fancy back and forth. You can bounce it back and forth, but at the same time, you know that the relationship is such that what he says is more important than what you say. So that's very careful with the wife when it comes to that. Guys like to tease. Part of being a guy is that you kibitz, tease, etc., whatever you And I'm extremely not a fan of teasing your wife. The guys who do it. I think it's stupid. Forget about, you know, Mutarasser. It's like, why do you want your wife sitting in a situation feeling, is he really serious? Does he really mean it? Does it really bother him? Or just, is he really just joking? Why do you want to have a situation, which is worse? I had a situation where Bachur came to me, he gave me somebody Shabbos Suda. The husband was like teasing his wife. It's a Shabbos Suda. His wife says, I don't know where to do with myself. I don't know where to go. I go under the table, I don't know what to do myself. Right? Because the person lost sight of, you know, he started, you know, chatting with the team and his wife in front of all the people. I don't know what to do, you know. So that's one point. The second thing is, so how do you count, you balance for this issue of losing independence of sex? So giving your stake. So, I mean, I'll give you an obvious line, which you're going to, the same way, you know, you're expected to share with your wife, so you expect your wife to share with you. So she's on a phone call, asks you on the phone, saying, okay, who are you speaking to? You know, it can be a very innocent comment. But let her offer. She has her own independent existence, her own independent life, and she has a right to decide how much she wants to share with you. She's not your employee that you have control over her, and you can, you know, like the boss say, you know, who are you talking on the phone with now? Even an employee would not like it so much. You know, Cabo Carver, you're dealing with, now, she might be very happy to share with it, but that's her decision. And so, she's going to maintain old friendships, old relationships. She's going to have an existence which exists outside of you. You want that. You don't want a wife who's totally dependent on you. You want a wife who has her own existence, own ability, she's capable, and within that you relate with her, that, you know, she has her strength, you know, her position of strength, your position of strength, and you work together. You have to respect that. In order to do that, you have to respect that. Or even better, you have to encourage it. Provide opportunities for her to get together with her friends. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, in the world of you're marrying local, so it's a little bit easier. You marry somebody from out of town, so this phone. Part of marriage is that you provide your wife with a phone. That she has ability to whatever. It's going to cost money. Shalom Bayis costs money. Chavetz Chaim says that we spend money on mitzvahs. So a person has no compunction spending $150 on a necessary. It costs money. And it lasts for 7 days. 6 days, you know. So the same way that's true, a person should decide his money at the end of the year, I'm putting away X amount of money for Shalom Bayis. I'm willing to spend, you know, a lot of these issues which come up. I had a young fellow came to me. Here's a mushroom. He's much better shopper than his wife. Very savvy shopper. He knows where to find deals, and you know, and what the prices really are supposed to be, are good prices, what are not good prices, and you know, he's a very good shopper. She's not. So she went shopping a few times, and you know, when he comes back, it's, you know, Carlo or whatever, you know, young married couple existence is expensive. And you don't have too much money, and every penny counts, and he's a nature, penny pincher type of guy, you know, a little bit. His wife is just not used to that. And he'll look at what she bought, and very hard for him to control himself, and I think, you know, indicate somewhere in his bearing, demeanor, etc., that he wasn't happy with whatever purchase. Because she spent a lot more than she should have or could have on that object. Or she didn't need to buy it, whatever. And it's creating tension between the two of them, obviously, right? So I asked him, "Do you want to do all the shopping?" "Do you want to kill your wife?" "No." "Okay." He says, well, if you do all the shopping, you're basically telling your wife that she's incapable. So what you will do is you will you're on your first step of creating a very dependent wife. You don't want a dependent wife, do you? No, I said no. You want a wife whenever you show something, she has to ask you for permission or advice. You want a wife who can handle things, right? Said, yeah. So how are you going to do that? He says, you're one thing to grow up, you're going to be a parent. Let's deal with a parent vis-a-vis a child. You have to grow up with a parent vis-a-vis a child. You have this kid who's not confident, and you want them to grow up to be independent, confident beings who can handle things themselves. Are you going to always buy things for them? And Charlie said, you blew it, you did it wrong, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to show them how to do it. Okay, fine. Let's say they don't do it. They forgot, etc. What are you going to do? So, he says, I give the guy at least some credit. He said, I'm not going to tell them that they blew it, right? He says, okay, but what about if you feel it inside, it's going to come on your face? He said, that's a problem. He says, so what do you do about it? And they put it back in his corner. Said, the person has to be able to say, focus on, if the person starts here, everybody can learn things, everybody can grow, they have strengths, they have marvels, they have weaknesses. You have marvels and you also have weaknesses. They're better than them. And this is an area which you want to help them facilitate growth. So that's vis-a-vis a kid. Now what about vis-a-vis a wife? Have a car, my wife, you make up your mind. How much does it cost you? At the end of the day, how much are you going to save with all of your finagling the money? $500? Maybe. $600? Okay. Fine. Is it worth $600? It's $50 a month.
But is it $50 a month just to say something to her in the first place about it? Or you're saying $50 a month if you decide, okay, I'm doing all the shopping? In other words, at what point are you, if it does bother you, are you allowed to say anything in a nice, respectful way where you're trying to help her? Or is you just don't say anything at all because it's going to upset
you? There's no rule. The answer is if it bothers you, you have to deal with it. Because the nature of these things is, I'm not advocating not saying anything because it doesn't bother you. I'm advocating an attitude change. Right? Put it in perspective. We're going to deal with we're going to deal with some of the ideas of how do you put things in perspective. In the overall perspective of your relationship, is it really worth it? Is $50 not worth it? $50, and you say, you're not getting the most perfect person in the world. You're not the most perfect person in the world. You're going to have to make adjustments. I'll give you a story which you should say later on. I'll give you most of the story. There's a husband and wife. Husband and wife was a very laid-back, wife was a very laid-back person. The husband was a type A personality, tense, go-getter, half the things. And the state of there's a lot of their styles conflicted very much. And the husband would get upset with him, and the wife would always answer the zealot officials. It's not so important. Just, relax, please, chill out a bit. And he couldn't internalize that message. He couldn't, the next thing would happen again, he would do it. But here, this guy looked up in Muncie. I heard this story from Rabbi Tran, the Tran, the word from Rabbi Tran, the word from Rabbi Tran, which one said it first, and the other one quoted the other one, one of them, whatever. And I heard it from one of them, the name of the other one. So, but here, it's summertime in New York, and his wife's up in the Catskills, and he's working in the city. So Rish happens to go up to New York. He drives up to the Catskills. And the way it works is these people, they spend Shabbos and Sunday and Sunday night, early Monday morning, they go back into the city and they work, they live at home or they have no work. But after they drive up to the mountains. Comes in, and he sees it, gets there Friday night already, he knows it, on the baby's crib, the wife has her pocketbook with her checkbook and her keys, car keys, and her wallet, and all that hanging on the baby's crib. So it looks like mamash looks like hanging on the baby's crib, Shiloh's buses, not buses, how could she leave it there, and she just left it there, so it doesn't make it in buses, because she didn't have time to put it there. But how could she do that, I got upset. Her answer is, fine, they work through that one, they go back into the city, the week he gets a phone call, his wife, who was pregnant, is having complications with the pregnancy, they take her to the Catskill Regional Hospital over there, he should come immediately. So he gets in the car, drives up to the mountains, when he gets to the mountains, his wife is no longer alive. Goes back to the, deals with all the issues over there, goes back to the bungalow, he walks into the bungalow, and there hanging on the crib is the pocket. He says, you know what? It really wasn't so important. That's the end of the story. You know, we get caught up in these little things which really aren't so important. But we need to step back and say, in the overall picture, I have a wonderful wife. She has knowledge, she has presented. I have a wonderful wife, which I'm very happy with. She's not perfect. Why is it bothering me so much? Move out of my life. I'll give you a few other techniques of this on how to try and put it in perspective. So the question I'm trying to deal with is an issue of perspective, not an issue of, you know, not saying anything because it doesn't, you know, it's not worth the money. That's not my point. My point is, you have to understand you're investing in something. A person starts a business. It's a person who's going to business with two attitudes. Shana Rishana for sure is an investment. Nowadays, most guys need about 5 years for Shana Rishana to be effective. Man, they didn't tell you this when you got married. I just really threw you a curveball on that one, right? I'll say what I mean eventually. You start a business. So you start a business, you know what that means? You want to be able to get off the ground, so it sounds like exciting and wonderful. So you start doing the drudgery, and you do all of this work, and the messes, you have to deal with it at nighttime, and you're working long hours, and you're investing in something. And if you do it right, you put a lot of work into it, etc. You hope in a year or two's time, whatever it is, it starts getting off the ground, and you get a very nice return on it. But if you're not going to put all of that work in the beginning, and to invest all of that time and effort into it, you have to see dividends. Right? That's what's true in business, it's true in life. Shana Rishana is a lot of work. It's a very exciting time, a lot of fun. It's also a lot of work, you know. You take two people which are quite different for many different reasons, etc. You put them under the roof, 24/7, 365, you say, yeah, everything should be smooth and not. It doesn't exist. Right? So you're going to invest into it. You're going to have to work on it. You're going to put a lot of work into it. And you're going to enjoy the good parts. You're going to have the times that, you know, you feel like you're fool and you blew it. Times that you're upset at your wife. You don't understand why she's getting upset about something. Times when you're just exhausted out of your mind. The times when you're just... And all that is part of Shana Rishana. But if you do it right, you did a good investment, so Shana Shni is much better than Shana Rishana. This is the one I tell every group. I once asked many young men and fellows, they asked me, how long are you married? He says, 50 years Shana Rishana. My response was, never. Who wants 5 years of Shana Rishana? I said, by me, Shana Shni was much better than Shana Rishana. And Shana Shni was better than Shana Shni. You know, if you do it right, your relationship keeps growing. There's excellent amount of things you work out in Shana Rishana. You work out a lot of things in Shana Rishana. Shana Rishana, you're much happier already because you worked out a lot of issues. In the Goyish Shemusig, where it's not work, the excitement and the romance, etc., is pinnacles the honeymoon, and it's all downhill from there. And the rest of life is trying to get a second honeymoon. In the Yiddish Shemusig, it's the opposite. You don't want a second honeymoon. You don't want a honeymoon because honeymoon was just the beginning. That was just like, you know, that was kid stuff. Life, you know, you should be closer to your wife. You're married 15 years and you are when you got by the house. The point is, I'm trying to give you an idea of understanding. The same way you happily spend the time in your business, those guys will fetch when they start their business. They're stupid. And what do you expect? You want something which is going to benefit from one day, be very successful, and it's going to be there for you and for your kids and your grandkids, etc. It takes work. Be happy that the Russian gave you opportunity, that you have the resources and the wherewithal and the opportunity to create that business, which will be, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. What is life for? Life is for tiddlywinks. You know, that's what life is. You put it in perspective. You say, okay, great, I'm happy. I can get up in the day. I can go work. I can see movement, and I can see sometimes we step back, but the overall picture is going somewhere, it's positive, it's growth. I'm a happy man. So it doesn't mean that I have to enjoy, you know, when the turnout of the guy who built the building for me did mess up the plumbing and the sewage backed up and it's a total, it reeks to who knows where. No, I don't enjoy it. I don't think fetch about it. You know, I put in, you know, a shot from ice that you don't enjoy it. But the day later, you walk out of the thing, you go home, you take a bitch, you could shower, you clean up your clothes, and say, you know what, take it to the cleaners, clean it off. Say what? It was an experience. It's behind me. The guy would keep sitting there, man, it was such a terrible thing. I had to go through the sewage, you know. And he's living in sewage the rest of his life. You don't live in sewage the rest of your life. That's your decision. The guy said, you know, whatever it was, move out of life. It's not so bad. Go over a picture of life. It's, you know, people have lived a lot worse than that. Anyway, so that's just a coordinate vote. Okay. Number... Five? Wait, you guys got me off the top of the logo. Okay. I want to try and finish this week, but I'm going to finish it this week. Okay. Number five. Just one quick one. This is Gemara Nida. Gemara Nida says, that why is it that very important to Gemara? Which gender is a stronger gender? Harder gender? More powerful gender? We all know it's the man, right? Right? Wrong. Gemara Nida says, why is it that women are much harder to appease than men? Kasher lefayas a woman. It's easy to lefayas a man. The Gemara says it's very simple, because a woman was made from bone, and bone is very hard. And man was made from dirt, and dirt is very soft. Each one is based on what he came from, what they came from. So, I don't know if you've ever read these stories about a woman's wrath. Once you get a woman upset at you, it's like getting her, you know, really upset at you, it's really hard to get her not upset. Kasher lefayas. Okay? What's the solution? Don't let that happen. How do you do that? Trust fund. Right? So one time you really blew it, you made a stupid mistake. Right? So why is she upset? There's different levels of being upset. If her basic feelings towards you is that you're a sensitive, caring person, you're aware of her needs, you're aware of her feelings, etc. One thing you blew it, you know, she herself will put it in perspective. If over and over something that you really couldn't care, you know, you don't care, she's not going to put it in perspective. That's her perspective. And then you're in trouble. It doesn't apply just to wives, it applies to women in general.